ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10.1, Chapter 2, Text number 10. Kamasyanindriya-priti Labo-jivita-yavata Jivasya-tatpa-jityasu Kamasya, of desires. Na, not. Indriya, senses. Pritihi, satisfaction. Labha, gain. Jiveta, self-preservation. Yavata, so much so. Jivasya, of the living being. Tattva, the absolute truth. Jignasa, inquiries. Na, not. Artaha, end. Yachaiha, whatsoever else. Karmabhi, by occupational activities. Translation. Life desire should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life of self or self-preservation. Since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth, nothing else should be the goal of one's work. Translation responsibly. Life desire should be never directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation. Since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth, nothing else should be the goal of one's work. Purport. The completely bewildered material civilization is wrongly directed towards the fulfillment of desires and sense gratification. In such civilization, in all spheres of life, the ultimate end is sense gratification. In politics, social service, altruism, philanthropy, and ultimately in religion, or even in salvation, the very same tint of sense gratification is ever increasingly predominant. In the political field, the leaders of men fight with one another to fulfill their personal sense gratification. The voters adore the so-called leaders only when they promise sense gratification. As soon as the voters are dissatisfied in their own sense gratification, they dethrone the leaders. The leaders must always disappoint the voters by not satisfying their senses. The same is applicable in all other fields. No one is serious about the problems of life. Even those who are on the path of salvation desire to become one with the absolute truth and desire to commit spiritual suicide for sense gratification. But the Bhagavatam says that one should not live for sense gratification. One should satisfy the senses only in so much as required for self-preservation and not for sense gratification. Because the body is made of senses, which also require a certain amount of satisfaction, there are regulative directions for satisfaction of such senses. But the senses are not meant for unrestricted enjoyment. For example, marriage or the combination of a man with a woman is necessary for progeny, but it is not meant for sense enjoyment. In the absence of voluntary restraint, there is propaganda for family planning. But foolish men do not know that family planning is automatically executed as soon as there is search after the absolute truth. Seekers of the absolute truth are never allured by unnecessary engagements in sense gratification, because the serious students seeking the absolute truth are always overwhelmed with the work of researching the truth. In every sphere of life, therefore, the ultimate end must be seeking after the absolute truth, and that sort of engagement will make one happy because he will be less engaged in varieties of sense gratification. And what that absolute truth is explained as follows. Om Agyana Simalakasai Sanandana Shalakayat Shakshu Militam Yanatas Mashi Guru Vainamaha Mukam Kuruti Vashman Pangam Vandi Chikin Yakupatam Hamvande Shri Guru Nginatarinam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we're in a chapter that is entitled Divinity and Divine Service, and the second chapter has very, very profound verses, very, very powerful purpose by Srila Prabhupada explaining what our what human civilization should basically be driving or aiming towards, what the sustenance of human civilization should be. So a description of real dharma has been given, not any other cheating process or methods. So we understand, although the word dharma is used very loosely and very precariously in modern civilization, we understand for us from Srila Prabhupada's books that real dharma or sanatana dharma is that intrinsic nature of the living entity, that which actually sustains our existence. So that which sustains our existence is if we're connected to our source, our original source, and that which does not actually lead to that, that is not real dharma, that is not dharma at all, then we are being cheated. As we see, the very first point that Prabhupada makes in the purport is that material civilization is completely bewildered, right? Because the identification or the understanding of what life is about in material civilization is towards fulfillment of material desires or sensual desires. So this may be from a gross or to a subtle level. Hence Srila Prabhupada gives the examples of politicians, he gives the example of altruistic workers, different sorts of humanitarians who are trying to become compassionate in some way or the other, but the end result or the underlying theme is a very subtle form of sense gratification, whether it's for the mind or it's for their intelligence, but they are seeking some fulfillment. So this basically means that they're putting themselves in the center of these activities, whether it's very direct or indirect. So even some people will argue for social services, for philanthropic work, so for so many different things, as that being the highest way or the highest mode of showing compassion or showing that you are a spiritual personality. But we understand that the activities that are 100% directly connected with the Supreme Lord in a favorable attempt, that can only be classified under real dharma. So everything else that's not directed to Krishna, the Srimad Bhagavatam asks that we reject those activities. And even the acharyas, they have given their guidelines in terms of what is favorable for devotional service and what is unfavorable for devotional service. So everything that will lead to us putting Krishna in the center or having our activities centering around Krishna, then we are advised to partake in those activities. But anything that actually does not have Krishna as the center, anything that does not inspire us or create a fire in us to serve Krishna, then those activities we have to reject, because they will not remind us or they will not revive our intrinsic nature. So we will be further put into darkness. The further you move away from Krishna, the more you are put into ignorance about your real position. Like, where there is Krishna, there cannot be any darkness. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hai Andhakara. That wherever there is Krishna, Krishna kicks out every scope of sinful activity or ignorance in one's life. So if we are having Krishna as our center, then we can truly understand what our nature is in relation to Krishna. So if you try and analyze from this example, we have a gross, a vivid example of what material civilization is based on the examples Srila Prabhupada has given about the politicians. Like, we know politicians are very great for promising false hopes and false dreams, and they are put there by persons who want these politicians to fulfill their sense gratification. Yes, increase the taxes, reduce the taxes so that we can have more money so that we can enjoy better. Or pass this law or this bill so that we have more scope and the GDP rises, and as a nation, as a country, as a community, globally, we can enjoy more economic development. This is sense gratification, because it further binds us to the external energy. It further binds us to the concept of thinking of I and mine, the selfish motive of putting us in the center. So Prabhupada, when I was reading this, I see that he was taking out the most vivid example we can have of activities that are encouraged by activities or sense gratification that leads one to further degradation of our eternal situation. So in the Bhagavad Gita, it's explaining how the sense gratification works and how the sense gratification based on the body, based on the senses, based on the material mind, the sense gratification leads to a burning sensation that is never satiated. This lust propensity. So we are either loving Krishna purely or we're lusting over Krishna's different qualities, desiring that for ourselves. So when that lust is dissatisfied, it produces not only anger and attachment, but bewilderment of memory and loss of intelligence. So not only do we not inquire, which is what's being proposed, that human life is meant for us to inquire about the absolute truth, that we have to inquire what the absolute truth is. But if we're living in such a life that we're further pushed away and away from that goal, then we remain in darkness. Then we actually do not go further on and inquire. Krishna explains that in the Bhagavad Gita 10:15:15, that if you want knowledge, remembrance, or forgetfulness, he will give that to you out of our desire. So if we desire to know the tattva, the absolute truth, as Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in his purport, that then we will become engaged in the overwhelming work of researching that absolute truth. And it's quite amazing, Srila Prabhupada says, those serious students who are seeking the absolute truth become overwhelmed with the work of researching about the absolute truth. As Krishna, we understand, he says he's the end of all the Vedic literatures, and how can we fully understand Krishna? How can we even, where do we begin in understanding Krishna's character, his qualities, his entire creation? The Bhagavad Gita is explained that Krishna is the compiler of the Vedanta, he is the knower of Vedas, and he is to be known by studying him in his tattva and also in his rasas. So we have to become overwhelmed by researching about the absolute truth. So that means the more we hear about Krishna, the more we become astonished and surprised by Krishna's magnanimous qualities, how he's so inconceivable, maintaining material in the spiritual world, in the material world still remaining aloof, not being touched by any happenings or goings of the material world. How Krishna is with senses, or sometimes he is without senses. and that causes, of course, such astonishment or such transcendental behavior can only be found in the absolute truth. Otherwise, how can he be the Supreme Personality of Godhead if these qualities do not exist in him? Simultaneously, one and the same, he is Sadguna and Air, at the same time he is Nirguna. But he was without any material qualities, but he is with full of spiritual qualities, spiritual form. No material form, but he has a spiritual form. So when we get to a point of trying to understand Krishna, then we become less attracted. Does anyone know how to fix this microphone and stop it from dropping? No, it's going to go down again. What do you do? So this sense material civilization is wrongly directed towards fulfilling of desires and sense gratification. If we analyze the different activities, not only on the political sphere, but even the social, economic, cultural, because the body, the senses are the center of enjoyment, we try to fulfill the material body, the material senses, the material mind, but still there's so much dissatisfaction. No matter how many times we try to cover or how many times we try and add variety to the same activity, still they do not produce a long-lasting effect. Because these activities, they are not directly aimed at reviving our dormant Krishna consciousness. So they will not give any satisfaction. We will eternally be bewildered. This is what Srila Prabhupada is explaining to us, that we should actually just not desire any sense gratification. Rather, we should desire to please the senses of Krishna, who is Rishikesh. So we give our senses to Krishna through the form of hearing, through the form of chanting, through the form of tasting, through the form of performing practical activities. We're working for the pleasure of Krishna. So those same senses have to be purified. If we understand really the absolute truth, we understand the full scope of his potencies, the full scope of his energies. So we're understanding how the material body is there. Yes, it's a fact. The material body is there. The soul is encaged within the material body. So we're using the material body in pursuance of devotional service. And that will completely satisfy the self. No other activities, no other so-called dharma can actually satisfy the soul but by the performance of devotional service. So we've heard Savai Pumsam Paro Dhamo Yato Bhakti Adoksaje Ahai Tuki Apati Hata Yayatma Supra Siddhati. That only those activities that are aimed towards the transcendent Lord, only they can actually give fulfillment for the living entity. No other activities can actually fulfill our desires. Because as a living entity, part and parcel of Krishna, we are full of desires. Now we cannot stop desiring. We just have to change our desires. Just as Srila Prabhupada, listened to a lecture Prabhupada gave on this verse in Hyderabad in India, and Prabhupada was explaining how it's not a matter of stopping to act or a matter of stopping to engage in any activity. We simply just have to change the direction of the activity. So the same senses, the same hands, the same eyes that we're using, we just have to purify them. And because Krishna is the ultimate purifier, there's a word in the Ishopanishad, different names of Krishna are given, apapavidham, that Krishna, he purifies anyone who comes into contact with Krishna's body, anyone who comes into contact with Krishna's name, Krishna's sound, immediately becomes purified. So we come into contact with Krishna, our senses, our sense of touch, our sense of hearing, our sense of eating, we become purified. And those same senses we then use in the process of devotional service. And then we begin on the process of Chetodhapana Marjanam. We begin cleansing the heart. We begin clearing the mind, removing all that dust, all the misidentification of thinking that sense gratification, material sense gratification, can actually satisfy the living entity, which is a false understanding of life. So just as you have a knife, Srila Prabhupada explains that it is pointless having a blunt knife. No one wants to use a blunt knife in the kitchen. It is frustrating. We know that material nature is blunt. It is not really going to satisfy us, no matter how much we try to exploit the material energy. So you have a blunt knife when you're really trying to, especially with, let's say, with bread. Try cutting bread with a knife that is super, super blunt. It is frustrating. Like, you try and go, the bread rips in different ends, it's uncomfortable, it doesn't look neat. You have to sharpen the knife, or anything you're cutting, eggplant or butternut. If you're using a blunt knife, you'll be there for a very long time. And it's a very uncomfortable situation to be in. Just as it's uncomfortable for a fish to be out of water. Our blunt material senses cannot give us any satisfaction. We have to sharpen those senses by bringing the senses into contact with something that will sharpen them. And when we get ourselves into contact with Krishna, we immediately become sharp. So those same senses, that same knife has to be sharpened by the process of devotional service. The first Vedic aphorism, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, that we have to inquire. And this is not aimed toward the animal species or the plant species. That as living entities given a human body, we have that blessing of being able to inquire into the absolute truth. So we have to inquire about this tattva of creation, of Krishna, of who we are in relation to Krishna. And only then will we stop then being attracted to the false hopes and dreams of the material energy, thinking that these blunt material senses are going to satisfy us. And the trick is also that the more you engage in these sense gratification, putting yourself as the center, the more you get frustrated, but at the same time you develop some kind of hope that maybe just one day, this is what the material energy does, it keeps you hoping that I've failed now, I'm going to try again next week. I'll fail next week and I'll try again. I've failed month after month, year after year, decade after decade. I've been trying to exploit the material energy, but I'm still hoping that one day, just give me one, I'll have one moment. There's a song once that was sang, I don't know which Olympics, by Whitney Houston. It's called Give Me One Moment in Time. And basically her lyrics are explaining that in that one moment she will feel eternity. Right, so people are actually chasing after that eternal pleasure, eternal happiness, because it's dormant in the soul. We want to be pleasureful all the time. We want to be full of bliss all the time. But the senses are misdirected. So she was explaining in this song, which is very, very good for those who are engrossed in material civilization, because we perform all these, you know, politics, economics, you know, dharma, artha, karma, moksha, so that we get some kind of happiness. But whether you're a sports fanatic, you want to run in the Olympics of 2000, and even if you fail, but you've been there, you had that moment in time where you felt like you were eternal, you were happy, you were consistently happy for 5 minutes. So this was the theme song of the Olympics. Like, just give me one moment in time when I'm living in ecstasy, and in that moment I will find eternity. And material existence in that moment is like, you know, a flash. It's literally a flash. This sense gratification is nothing but a flash. And what the flash, you can see when it storms, lightning comes. You can't even put a time to it. The lightning and the thunder go, and that's it. This is material sense gratification. This is what happens when you put yourself in the center and you remove Krishna. It's actually nothing but a little flash of happiness. And we're thinking, oh, this is the life. And for our entire existence, we're chasing that flash. That's why every Friday, people try and do the same thing. They're chasing that little flash of enjoyment. The following week, they're doing the exact same thing. Dressing up in the same manner, talking about the same crow-like topics, eating the same, material foodstuffs, doing the same activities every single week, hoping that they'll get a flash of that satisfaction that they're after. And this is prolonged. This is what people do every single week. Otherwise, why are people going out every weekend? They're chasing that flash of happiness that they found for a few moments last on the previous week. Well, this is mature sense gratification. It can actually never be. It can never be. You can never satisfy material desires. They just keep splurging out of control. You get one thing and you desire more. You get 5 minutes of happiness, or now you want 10 minutes of material pleasure. So you'll chase that for another month or two or three. And you got your 10 minutes, and then you want 30 minutes of pleasure. You'll chase that. But this is condemned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavad Gita. Lust burns like fire. When you have an itch, when you have a rash, you scratch it. A little bit of pleasure. You scratch it for a little bit longer. Even more pleasure. But what happens in the end, you have a huge scar and you can't actually enjoy that burning sensation anymore. But it has created a dependency, it has created an addiction, because you just want to feel that little itch and you want to get rid of it. So you continue and you continue and you continue. And this is material existence. So the Vedic literatures were given and divided in such a way and packaged in such a way that those who are less intelligent, those who cannot actually by themselves crawl out of the deep, dark hole of material existence, they've been given these literatures, which is like the sun, and they can dissipate the darkness of thinking that we're dull matter. So the sages at Namaisharanya, they could see this. They could see what Kali Yuga is like. They could see the degraded qualities of Kali Yuga. So we understand that not only did our senses include our mind, which is a very tricky subject matter. Everyone's mind is taking them here and there. So the sages are explaining, Prayena Palyusha Sabja Kalavasmin Yuge Jana Manda Su Manda Matayo Manda Bhaya Hiupadritaha. Explaining to the sage that in this age of Kali, men have but short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, unlucky, misguided, and we're always disturbed. You have those who cheat in the name of religion, in the name of salvation, producing some magical feats, and we're thinking this is the real thing. There's a letter I was reading by Srila Prabhupada explaining how sometimes personalities, you know, to create gold, they pass urine on copper. Copper and mercury make gold. So this is very common in India, and then it's presented to people and thinking, yes, this is the real thing, this is gold, but it's just cheap. Or you go onto the streets, you know, where I grew up,
someone hits you, someone comes from behind, I have a gold watch, it'll look beautiful on you, it's only $20. And you're thinking, you're kidding me. This is 18 karat gold and it's 20 rand. That's a real diamond. It's $15. Sure. That material existence is coming, the material energy comes, the material contamination comes. You know, this is what you'll get. You'll get pleasure that will last for eternity. And we're thinking, ooh, maybe yes. So I will get this package. Because we're just identifying with the externals from an external point of view. Yeah, it looks like gold, it looks great, it looks like diamond. But what is the value? What is the value of material activities? There's no value because they end when the body ends. When the body ends, nothing goes with you. If you're just identifying with the body, with the senses, it all ends when your time is up. The only thing that we ever take out of this world is our devotion to Krishna, which Krishna said that he preserves what we have and he carries what we lack. So that's the only thing that actually goes with us out of everything else stays. Everything else that is material stays. The only real sure thing in this world is Krishna, and that's the only thing that comes with us when the body ends, when the body finishes. So the sages could see that we would become so misguided by false propagandists, by false yogis, by false theologians, by false politicians, so many degraded personalities. And our mind will be disturbed because of this. We will not be attracted to inquiring, which is the main goal of human life, is to inquire. Then that attraction won't be there because there's so much, you know, there's so much cheating religion, so to say. So we'll back away and shy away from that kind of behavior. So sense gratification actually, to date, has not solved the problems of life. Is actually increasing. Birth, death, disease, old age. All of that is just increasing. Right? People are giving more birth to degraded population. You know, unplanned birth. People are trying to stop death by pharmaceutical means. You know, tuck this in, pin this, or Botox this, or laser this, or dye this, just to try and stop the aging process. But mother material nature, that will go on. It does not exclude whether you're born in this part of the world or not. Birth, death, disease, old age, that's part of the material body. This is what we'll get. But if we're after sense gratification, we act dumb, and we act like fools, like, no, this is not coming, this is not happening, I'm not getting old, look at me, no wrinkles, because I use Botox. Or look at me, I don't have any gray hair, I can dye it. Look at me, I have a figure of a 16-year-old, I do liposuction every year. But we're trying to regain that eternality, trying to regain that youth so that we can continue in sense gratification. But by the stringent laws of material nature, we are forced to deal with these four problems in life. So a sober person, someone who is dhira, someone who is sober, can understand the coming and goings of material nature. And they are transcendental to these activities. The summer comes, winter comes, we don't start crying every time it's winter and condemning the Creator for bringing about these seasons. This is what happens in the material world. So you just adjust. You make the best use of your situation. Always putting Krishna in the center. So because in Kali Yuga, men have taken unclean vows. Everything that's done in Kali Yuga is asuchi. It is unclean. Because it is aimed at something that is external, something that it is false. What is the point of unclean vows or decorating a dead body? There is no value. Unclean vows contaminate us even further. So we have real dharma means to sustain our existence, and the acharyas and spiritual masters, they are giving us guidelines, rules and regulations so that we can become free from the clutches of the material energy, from the stringent, Prabhupada uses the word stringent laws of material nature. The rules and regulations are meant, of freedom, are meant to release us from these grips or these laws that bind us to performing more and more sense gratification. And it's an insurmountable disease. We cannot go hand on hand battle with the material energy. It's Krishna's energy. Although we're of a superior energy, when we touch matter, we become, our potency becomes nullified. That's why, you know, the material energy, as soon as, you know, it presents itself, we fall weak in the knees, and we want to exploit the material energy. Krishna says, only if you approach me, then you'll be able to cross over this ocean of material existence, only by approaching Krishna. So those who are working for the betterment of life in terms of dharma, artha, karma and moksha, basically having themselves in the center, they cannot actually achieve this healthy life, or they cannot preserve the real self, because they don't actually understand what the real self is. They have an understanding of the false self, of the external body, of thinking that we can be in an inactive state eternally. That is a false understanding of who we are. Intrinsically, we're active by nature. The soul is active by nature. So we have to go back to our original position, then we'll be happy. Real health means that you are in a level of functioning efficiently on your original state. Like medically, that's how they define real health. It is a good condition of our mind, our intelligence, of the soul. That is real health. Now, self-preservation, you first start understanding what the self is. What you speak of now, preserving yourself, if you don't know what the self is, then what's the point of self-preservation? What will you preserve if you don't know the real self? How can you be happy if you do not know what the real self is? How can there be long-lasting peace if you don't know what the real self is? All our activities will be based on false pretense. All our activities will be based on Maya, if you don't know the real self. So if you want to become healthy, if you want to perform some self-preservation, we inquire about the absolute truth. We inquire and research about this absolute truth. What am I? Who am I? And what is my connection with the Supreme Absolute Person? So if we want to know the real tattva, and this first is a tattva jigyasu, if we want to know the real tattva, we have to go through a process of purifying the senses. And as we know, the verse 7, Mukhe Jivado Swayam Evas Bratyada Atha Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Priyam Indriya. Now that we're using our senses to get purified, and in that way we understand the absolute truth. When the sun rises in the morning, we don't only see ourselves, but we see everything else. This is self-realization. And we have to purify the senses. If we're illusion, we're thinking, this is my hand that expands, this is my family, this is my community, this is my nation, this is my this, this is my that. My. And we're putting ourselves in the center. But if you see Krishna's presence, Krishna's tattva, Krishna's presence in everyone's heart, then we understand what our connection with everyone is, how we're not meant for exploitation. Therefore, Krishna's name is Rishikesh. So we purify the senses. Rishikena means purified senses. So by purifying our senses, we get to serve those same senses. We get to serve Krishna with those same senses that we're using to serve the external energy. We get to serve Krishna, and these senses are meant for Krishna. They're meant for Krishna's pleasure. Rishikena, Rishikesa, Sevanam Bhakti, Uchate. So our senses are meant for Krishna's pleasure, and we purify our senses. And this is a process we follow if we want to understand who Krishna is, if we want to understand what the goal of life is, which is what human civilization means. We understand at least what the goal of life is. And in that state, we engage less in sense gratification, and we're after self-preservation, we're after understanding the real self, we're after a healthy life of knowing what our intrinsic nature is and what our nature is not. So I'll stop there and I'll ask if there's any comments or questions. Yes, Mahatma Prabhu.
The first sentence in the translation tells each and everything about this verse. Life and desire should never be directed towards self-gratification. We have told very clearly. Last time I was hearing when Lekhan and Prabhupada, he said that without knowledge you can't have attention. If you have got knowledge that you are your spiritual soul, then only you can detach from the material world. That means you know that you are not material, you are spiritual. Then you have got only this knowledge. Then only you think of devotional service and do it very properly and very sincerely. Second thing is, today is the appearance of
I will not speculate in the presence of the Lord. So if there's someone more qualified to speak about the eternal consort of Sri Advaitacharya Mahavishnu, then they can do so, but I will not speculate about the glories of Sita Thakurani. I know she was a very devoted Vaishnava who served Lord Chaitanya in his pastimes and encouraged Advaita Acharya also in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. So she's an eternal associate of the Lord. And she's very much devoted to hearing the glories of the Lord. Yes.
Is
it 6:30 or 6:30 Harinam.
Likewise, if somebody misses their coffee and cigarette for their morning break, they feel like crap. So the argument works on both sides.
You were saying in the beginning that's because material sense gratification brings temporary pleasure.
Yeah, you're talking about how sense gratification.
It's like a flash of happiness.
Flash,
yeah.
It lasts such a short time. Whereas I think that the argument works both directions. You know, if you don't maintain your sadhana, the feeling that you get from that doesn't carry you through.
Yeah, but at the same time, we cannot compare the happiness felt in material sense gratification to the happiness that we feel when we perform devotional service. But if we are lax in our sadhana, then we will have no taste. We'll actually feel a gap in our day. Like if we don't chant, if we don't hear and chant about Krishna, then you'll be attracted to something else. But in terms of equating, they're on two different platforms altogether. So you either have happiness coming from sense gratification, from becoming one with Brahman, or happiness on the platform of devotional service. But out of all those three, the happiness one derives, even still on the process of sadhana bhakti, even when we're still going through this phase of purification, that happiness, the happiness we experience there cannot even be touched by the happiness one can experience on the level of Brahman.
The point is that if you don't meditate, then your pleasure of the class was that if you don't, maintain the sense gratification and feel unhappy. And I'm saying that the argument works both ways.
If you don't maintain your spiritual sense gratification, yes, you will be unhappy.
Yeah.
That is true.
The point stands is release is the trigger, and so the trigger is as good as the relief. So whether you think it's just a strength spiritual or not.
Yes. So, yeah, we have material sense gratification, we have spiritual sense gratification. If we are lax in our spiritual pursuits to please Krishna, then we won't be satisfied because we're not feeding the soul. Similarly, if we try and enjoy materially and we feel, you know, we're not pleased. So, yeah, that's true. Both ways. If we're not taking care of our sadhana, we won't feel pleased internally. Okay, thank you very much. Gantraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Krishna Prabhupada Ki, and I go from there.